Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Basic information before leaving Earth. Don't go home without it. God gave you a proving ground, a little bit of testing time. He says, I'll give you 70 years if you got a good heart, maybe a little more. If you need to learn something, maybe a little more, sometimes less. So you got to, no, you don't have an infinite amount of time to figure out what's correct and what's not. He tests you here for the real life to come. You got to read this book. You got to look at every line. You got to look at every word. Sometimes a single word will change everything, the whole perception of what you're reading. You hear on WBFF 97.7, Veterans for Freedom Radio. Glad you could join us. We're in Leviticus. God has laid down the law because they wouldn't follow his first covenant given to Abraham, which was simply, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is a carnal cleansing, one is a spiritual cleansing. They just couldn't do it. Too much simplification there, God. We need more complex things.
Yes.
On their way out of Egypt, God noticed that. One minute they'd follow him, the next minute they're looking back. You don't ever look back once you start to follow God. He gives us, under his Son, thank God, we have simplicity again. Paul writes, there's nothing illegal for the Christian. Some things are not good for the Christian. If you can handle certain things, God will allow them in your life. If you can't, that's why you can't look at your neighbor and judge him. Because God forbid you judge him, because you don't know what his Father has told him he is able to do. The same Father, your Father, might have told you you're not supposed to do that because you can't handle it in some way. But he might have the liberty of that because he is stronger in certain areas than you. So God forbid you judge your neighbor. All right, we're in Leviticus. We're at the last chapter. Leviticus is a little bit of laborious reading, but read this Bible through dozens and dozens and dozens of times. It's only good for you. Get through the laborious parts and get on to the storylines that will keep your attention a little more.
And oddly enough, it becomes almost brand new every time you read it.
It does, absolutely. And things will open up to you. If you've never read the Bible, don't start at the beginning and just try to read right on through, because you'll get to these laborious parts and you will lose interest. Jump around, stay in the storylines, jump back and read a chapter or two of Leviticus or Deuteronomy, and then jump back to a storyline. It will keep your attention, and you will also notice that sometimes things will fall in place. Chapter 26, Book of Leviticus. You shall make no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. Ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. So he says, follow my statutes, and there are a lot of them now. And the whole purpose of it was to prove to them that they couldn't do it. They needed to follow him with all their heart. Because if you followed him with all your heart, like he told Abraham, all of these things took place. You were blessed. You had plenty to eat. You had all your needs and a lot of your wants. Because God says, I want to give you the fullness of your heart. But they couldn't do it. So now they have a lot of physical things that they have to try to do. Sometimes it's easier to do something with your hands than it is to control your heart and your mind, because the spirit man lives in the heart. The mind is contrary to God, and the flesh is an abomination. It must be under control. So the spirit man that lives in the heart must control the mind and keep the flesh in subjection. And I tell you what, it all starts with food. You overfeed this body, you want the spirit man to get out of control, you start right there. Because I'm not judging. I see a fat preacher waddle up onto the stage. I think in my heart, what kind of spirit life can he possibly have? Because I have been heavy at times, and I tell you what, the more I feed this body, the more out of control it becomes. The spirit man is put to sleep. Food is like a drug. You know, alcohol is like a drug. Drugs are drugs. You know, they're all designed to put the spirit man asleep. Keep your body healthy to help keep your spirit in control. Verse 6, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, shall not reject you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. It's all God wanted from the beginning, to be God and King to his people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me, and I will not do all these commandments, maybe ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all of my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, or your enemies shall eat it. So he's saying here, if you don't follow these statutes, I will bring all sorts of hardship upon you, just like it was with Abraham. Follow me with all your heart. If you don't, all sorts of hardships will fall upon you. That is why they fell into bondage in Egypt, because they came there as welcome guests. They were given the choice land. They were given all that they needed, and they fell away from God, and they became into bondage. So he's trying to get it all set straight now. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me, and I will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Don't tell me you don't pay for your sins in this life. Oh, Jesus paid for all my sins. Spiritually, yes, he has cleansed you. But you go ahead and sin and see what kind of sickness comes upon you or your family or your finances. Jesus said to the man after he healed him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So if you have sickness in your body, examine the spirit man inside and see where you're failing. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me. And if you read between the lines right there, and your highways shall be desolate, you will have no economic fortunes. Then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. I will bring a sword upon you, and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. When ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered unto the hand of the enemy. When I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in 1 oven. They shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. If ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, and I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sin. Now, if you notice, God is giving steps here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's still right. There's still a step to where he's like, look, turn.
Yes,
you
yes,
can still
yes.
turn.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. If you do this, your fields won't grow. If you do this, you won't have any economic fortunes. You know, and if you still don't follow me, then this. And if you still don't follow me, a disease on your body. And if you still don't follow me, let's find out what else there is.
That's right.
And if you walk contrary unto me also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sin, ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And we will see that shortly during some of the sieges of Jerusalem, when the Israelites had gotten so far from God that he allowed foreign armies to come and besiege them. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will smell the savor of your sweet odors. It will do me good to see you like this because you have gone so far from me. Just like when God was ready to wipe them out and told Moses, these people that you brought out of Egypt, I'm going to wipe them out. Hard people. They're a stubborn people. And Moses says, no, Lord, you brought them out of Egypt. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was just in the head of the line. You told me to run to be in the head of the line. Moses got him calmed down. But he's saying here, if you push me over and over and over and over again, I will wipe you out and it will make me happy to do it.
Still given chances in the middle of it to turn away.
Yes, like, right to the last moment. And I will bring the land unto desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities a waste. This, you know, that one right there, 33, was the last thing that happened to them in 70 AD. After God had punished them over and over again, he scattered them among the heathen to the four winds of the earth. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And this is a prophecy here of exactly what will happen to Israel in 70 AD. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. And this is what happened in 1947, because God scattered them to the four winds in 70 AD when the Romans came in and totally destroyed Jerusalem. They were vagabonds out in the world. And then in 1947, because they had called out to him, apparently, because that's what he says, if you call out to me and you ask forgiveness, I will remember you. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul adore my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Okay, so you say Leviticus is boring. I don't like to read it. But if you've read the rest of this book, you will see in that last chapter, in the chapter that we're reading right now, the entire history of Israel, and you wouldn't have gotten that had you not read all the way through. Chapter 17, Book of Leviticus, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan here on WBFF 97.7, God's amazing guide to eternal life. Don't go home without reading it at least once, but I beg you to read it 1,000 times. I haven't gotten to 1,000 yet, and I probably won't make it, but I'm hoping to. Chapter 27, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male of 20 years old, even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 50 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. So he is valuating the people, putting a value on each of the age groups. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability. That vowed shall the priest value him. And if it be a beast, whatsoever men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. If he shall not alter it, nor change it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good, if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be for any unclean beast, of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest. The priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it. Who art the priest, so shall it be. So this valuation is in place of the animal sacrifice, if they don't have it, apparently. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. So say you have a very small flock, and you have sinned, and you need to give a sacrifice, but your flock just does not have the ability to survive after sacrifice, because that is your main mating pairs. God has given you the ability to purchase and value the animal and actually give money unto the priest to take the place of sacrifice. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. If a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. An omer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. So God is making a way even for the poorest of people, as he does to this day. He is no respecter of persons. Come to him as you are, rich, poor, or indifferent. He will respect you exactly the same. If he sanctify his field from the year of Jubilee, according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation, deducted from the estimation. And if he has sanctified the field, will in any wise redeem it, and he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. So If you have no other means, but you have property and you're a farmer, you can set aside a portion of your field and do not profit from it, and that is considered sacrifice to the Lord. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord, as the field devoted, the possession thereof shall be the priest. If a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the Lord shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of jubilee, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerah shall be the shekel. Only the firstlings of the beasts, which should be the Lord's firstlings, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be of an unclean beast, then it shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. If you give it to the Lord's, it will be the Lord's up until the time that you have given it to him. You will not take it back. He had said earlier there are some situations where you can redeem it with money and purchase it back, but he's just a clarification there. It is the Lord's. It will be the Lord's. Dare not you start using it while it is the Lord's, unless you have redeemed it. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth part be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It is not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses of the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. So that is the law of tithing there. And along with the sacrifices, God put in tithing. And it was not, this doesn't appear to have been a tenth part of anything. Everyone was valued differently, according to age and somewhat other factors, and he gave you many ways to tithe. God doesn't necessarily want your money. He doesn't need it. Mm-hmm. He has the giant mountains of gold if he wants that. He wants your heart, and where a man's heart is, there is his money. And money to a farmer could be a field that will grow him a crop and produce for him monetary means so he can buy other things. So money to another farmer might be livestock or horses, and God has given every possible way for the man to tithe with his heart. And he says so many times in Leviticus, it must be freely given. If you get to the point where you have to tithe, and say, oh, man, it's tithing time again. Yeah. Kind of like April 15th is tax time again. You know, we don't give to the government with a willing heart.
Right.
I think we're supposed to, but it's hard to do. But you got to give to God with a little willing heart.
Yeah.
That is the book of Leviticus, the law, which was given to prove to these stiff-necked people, God's words, stiff-necked people, that simplicity is better than bondage. He has put them in bondage now because they did not enjoy the simplicity of the first covenant with Abraham, which was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Okay? Cutting of the circumcision of the flesh is an outwardly appearance that you belong to God. And he also used the word circumcision of the heart. It means that your heart belongs to him too. And you know, this the circumcision was widely adopted in the United States, not because we're Jewish, because it is a good hygienic practice. I remember in Nazi Germany, Jews were accosted on the street. Are you Jewish? No, no, drop your pants. And it was an immediate execution or taken to prison. I mean, that is an outwardly appearance of belonging to God. And when Christ came, he said, you know, all he said to do, be baptized in public. You know, it's an outward expression of belonging to me. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized as a public outward. So there again, we have the same as we had with the Abrahamic covenant. Follow me with all your heart, circumcise your children. Christ says, follow me with all your heart and be publicly baptized. The book of Leviticus, I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to get in the book of Numbers here in just a few minutes. Glad you could be with us on WBFF 97.7 FM, Veterans for Freedom Radio. We love the Bible and we love the Lord here.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.